show me your pussy.
Hello and welcome back to the 100th episode of Radio Nasties. I'm your host Richard with my co-host Vic.
I love the smell of the honey and the taste of the shunt.
Well, I'm about to get shunted, everybody, so I'm off skis.
Yeah, better run. Better run from the shunt. It's a shunt run. The running of the shunt.
Oh dear.
This thing just runs and you've got to run, because if you don't,
you're going to get shunted.
Yeah.
Most people don't even know. What does that mean? And then the ones that know, they're the fastest.
Yeah. Don't find out. Just run.
I can't stop and tell you. I'm too afraid.
Oh, man.
And joining us once again is Charlotte.
I think after that conversation, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
See you later, guys.
Goodbye.
Thanks for having me.
Today we're delving into another little indie film from a lesser-known director.
Yeah, gay film.
Based on a little indie novel by some wannabe horror writer.
Don't know what happened to him.
And that movie is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining from 1980, based on the Stephen King novel of the same name. I remember hearing somewhere that this is Stephen King's favourite adaptation.
Yeah, he loves this one. Loves it. Puts this on at Christmas every year. It's like a family tradition.
Everyone else enjoys it, it's just him. Why do I do this every year? I'm going to do my own TV version of The Shining and it'll be much better. And I'm going to put Sam Raimi in it for some reason.
The reaction that you just did there, just kind of shouted out, furiously wanking in anger. Me, to be honest.
Furiously.
I fucking hate this film so much.
Oh. I think furiously wanking in anger.
Can you imagine if that came up on your subtitles on the film? You know, furiously wanking, in brackets. You're like, I think I'm... I don't think you'd had to translate that bit.
I think this podcast has gone a bit downhill, hasn't it?
What we're talking about?
Sexualized.
Oh, we're already at the bottom of the hill. Can't go any further down. It's all uphill from here.
No. Started at the bottom, still at the bottom.
Quite at home here now, to be honest. If I went up, I'd get anxious.
Right, enough for dilly-dallying. I'm sure everybody knows what the fucking Shining is, so let's just get into it, because it's probably going to be a long one. So the film starts off with some terrible landscape screen.
Awful. It's like... That's why I wrote my notes. It opens with awful landscape shots. Well, disgusting.
You'll never amount to anything, Kubrick, if you're listening. Still alive, right? You still going?
Can you imagine if he left us a comment? Like, yeah, I am. Like, oh fuck,
I'm still here.
We've inferred the wrath of Stanley Kubrick ghost.
But no, yeah, it does start off with some pretty nice scenery.
Yeah, really good shot.
After the scenic views, the camera sort of focuses on the car, yellow Volkswagen.
It's Jack.
But Jack who?
I don't know. Nicholson.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
That'd be great if he was like a method actor. It's like, right, I've got to stop being Jack. Be Jack.
Yeah.
What are you on about, Jack? Oh, sorry, I'm not Jack anymore. I'm Jack. Oh, sorry, Jack. I've just told you I'm not Jack.
But what's his name? Because
fuck
he's
off, Jack.
Because he says Johnny. So is it Jonathan?
No, he's just,
no, it's Jack.
Just,
John. That's a reference to some American host,
like
TV host.
Pop culture reference.
Oh,
like,
right. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of what it
was. When he would come on. He was always introduced as like,
here's
Johnny.
Oh, right, okay.
Because that bit was
improvised.
Yeah, it was ad lib, wasn't it?
What?
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's just Jack Nicholson.
Which I'm shocked Kubrick.
Exactly, considering it's pop culture.
I think the same thing happened in Clockwork Orange.
Really?
I'm pretty sure when Malcolm McDowell starts singing in the rain, I think that was ad libbed as well. He just went with it.
I suppose if it goes.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that scene without.
Yeah.
Singing in the rain. Singing in the rain.
The soundtrack at the start as well, like, tells you exactly what kind of film you're getting into.
Yeah.
There's so much dread in that soundtrack.
Yeah, it's like a morgue synthesizer.
Yeah, but then in the background, sometimes you can hear, like, people screaming.
Yeah.
Wailing,
and then,
maybe.
Like, it really amps up, like, when it gets to the end.
And then you're like, oh, no, that's definitely people wailing. Like, this is a bit weird.
I know what wailing people sound like.
Yeah, I've got some in my basement.
Like, I just assumed up. I just assumed you knew it from hell.
No, they don't really wail
life.
In hell. No.
Life. I didn't even know you had a basement.
We're not whining.
Merry time in hell.
But that sounds like a really weird novel.
Yeah.
Merry time in hell.
The landscape shots also show how isolated you are straight away. It gives you like an impression of like, oh, we're out in the sticks. Like, straight away. Because
this is a long ass road.
He's really out of the way.
Apparently, even after being shown it, I don't quite see it, but apparently you can see the image of Stanley Kubrick in the clouds.
I've never even tried to look.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really look for Stanley Kubrick clouds.
Oh, I do.
There he is.
In every film.
Is that Stanley Kubrick? I don't think it is. I think it's just a clown.
It's the Simpsons movie, Greg.
Then it might be.
Clown?
Yeah. It's just a clown.
Oh.
No, we're doing Shining, not it.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Sorry, guys. I'll come back for that episode.
Yeah, shit film, The Shining. It was well better.
Yeah, well better.
The Tim Curry version. We get our first title card. The Interview.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, there's a few of these, aren't there? It's usually just what day it is, but this one's The Interview.
And they do closing day as well.
And then it's just like Monday, which is the most terrifying one of all.
Because everybody hates a Monday.
By the way, considering what film this is, like, if we get to a point, like, I'm going to reference things that are going to happen in the future, because I don't think many people haven't seen this movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this movie, I just think you should just leave.
Yeah. But we'll go and watch the film. Leave and watch the film, yeah.
Then kill yourself.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. It was a good film.
For leaving it that way.
I see. Yeah, he's having an interview with Mr. Ullman.
Yes, and this is when Jack steps into the impossible office.
Yeah.
Which, because even the way he goes in, you can see it's sort of more in the centre of the building. But there's a window.
Yeah.
Which is,
strange.
Yeah. I think there's another bit like this when Danny's on his trike.
Yeah, and it kind of, like, changes floors or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's in a part that he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It'd be great if he pointed it out. The first thing he's sort of like, I'm really sorry, mate, but how is there a window there? He looks behind him like, what do you mean? It's just a window. Yeah, but... How? Well, I mean, somebody installed it. No, but how does it exist? Well, I'm not sure of the full process, but I think it starts with sand. No, I'm not asking what a window is and how it's made. I'm asking, how is it there? I just don't understand
the
question.
They put it in when they put the walls up.
No, but you don't seem to understand.
I mean, I think I do understand. So you're asking me where the window's
situated. I've worked here for many years.
Yeah, they put it in with the fucking wall.
But it shouldn't be there. Well, how else am I going to get natural lighting in my office? No, you're not getting the point, Mr. Ullman. This window doesn't add up.
I don't think you're getting the point. Like, this is a fucking interview. I could be your future boss.
This is not a window debate.
yeah. You're fucking annoying me.
If you want a window debate, you have to book in for a window debate.
Yeah.
I'm always up for a window debate. So Susie, getting booked in for a...
People have asked about this fucking window before then, is what you're saying to me.
Well, surprisingly, everybody asks.
Does this not seem odd to you? No? They're all wrong. I'm right.
What seems odd to me is why so many people are questioning my window. No, but I think what the question is that your office is in the middle of the hotel. Yeah. And there's a window. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, it's probably something to do with all the ghosts that haunt this place.
Excuse me? Oh, yeah. If you stay here for an extended period of time, you might kill your family. That's all I'm going to say. And maybe yourself. Who knows?
It's happened at least once.
At least once? Yeah, I mean, there's a few non-confirmed ones, but, you know.
We're not too sure.
Are they definitely non-confirmed? Well, brushed under the carpet.
Literally, like, don't look under the carpet.
The press
is that what that lump was?
Yeah. Stinks in here.
That's why I've got the window.
Open the window.
smells like a corpse in here. The camera zooms in on Mr. Ullman. Like, oh,
what would happen if somebody opened that window and put their head through it? Would it just come through the wall? Like, call the repairman.
No, don't worry, this has happened before. At least once. Yeah, and we cut to Wendy and Danny talking about going... They're talking about possibly getting the job, aren't they? Well, Jack getting the job. And this is where we're introduced to Tony as well, which is...
T-Dog.
God, that'd be a different... Can you imagine?
That being like the 90s remake, like, hey, T-Dog. Hey, what up?
Can you imagine Can you imagine your reaction if that was real? To be fair, my reaction as well.
I wouldn't be alive, to be fair.
Oh, no more. No more.
They'd probably have, like, irrelevant rappers in it. Oh, Dick Halloran would be played by, I don't know.
That's my ideal film.
Ice Cube or something.
Ideal film. Love Ice Cube.
What? What, is Jack Torrance?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going, motherfucker, kill you. Look.
Yeah, I think he'd be good.
Don't kill me, daddy. I'm going, motherfucker, kill you again. Would in this case then, fucking hell, Dick Halloran, would he be a white guy?
Be Owen Wilson.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I've got to show
you. Hey, Doc, want some ice cream?
No. No. No.
Get away from me, you white bastard.
I know who you are. You're Owen Wilson.
Wow.
There you go. Confirmed.
There's a lot of fourth wall breaking on going here. Oh, did he stick his head through the window again? No, I meant the...
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, we're like 3 minutes into the movie.
Oh, well, only 2 hours and 21 minutes to go.
Yeah. So in the interview, Jack is saying that he's a former school teacher, which is the origin from the book, which they kind of glance over in this.
I think this is one of the many reasons old Stephen King's not a fan. He's like, you ruined my story!
Yeah. Yeah, cause, well, he's annoyed that Jack seems unhinged from the beginning in this movie, whereas it's a gradual build in the book, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, like, seems like you're mental already. And even in the interview, you're like, don't give him the job.
He's already questioning the windows. What chance has he got?
He hasn't spoken yet. Look at his facial expressions.
Mental.
This guy looks like Jack Nicholson.
He looks like he's maybe, like, escaped from, like, a mental institution or something.
Yeah, he says that he's looking for a change.
Yeah, he's basically saying, oh, teaching was only, you know, to make ends meet. Like, my real passions, I want to be a writer.
Yeah, which, if you've read the book, he actually loses. I think he's struggling to get a job at one point with he gets fired from being...
Yeah, he gets the job at the Overlook because his mates, like, friends with...
Yeah, I think...
Because the interview is a lot different in the book. Like, he just sat out, hates Jack, and he's like, I don't want to give you this job. But
he hits a kid or something, or pushes a kid over.
Yeah, at school, yeah. There's some, like,
and
fucking...
Then they're like, you're not very stable, mate.
Can't just go around pushing kids.
Shouldn't be drinking. Stop drinking.
Don't be drinking and hitting kids. Yeah. One or other. Can't take them both. It's inexcusable. Like, everyone needs to smack a kid every once in a while or have a drink, but both.
Not at the same time. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Yeah. And chill out.
At least intermittently. Like, take a break.
Yeah.
Have your drink. Come back in a few hours. Then hit the child.
See you little cunt. I'm going to come back after I've had a drink, and I'm going to beat you senseless.
There's nothing anyone can do about it. The school is terrible.
It's the 30s, and I'm going to curb stomp you, and nobody's going to ask anything. How did you get these injuries? I fell down the stairs.
My teacher curb stomped me. Not again.
Fucking teachers curb stomping. I know you're allowed to do it, right, but it makes my job so much harder. I'm fixing up these fucking kids' faces.
And fixing all these curbs.
Oh, God. To be fair, Jeff, it's a weird two jobs to have. What, you're a doctor and then you're a pavement specialist or a curb specialist. Who just does the curb
anyway?
Especially
in this day and age where one job is enough to provide for a whole family.
Fucking get a grip. What, the pavement? I'm fucking sick of you, Jeff.
I'm going to curb stomp you.
Yeah. No, don't. Don't, mate. No, you're all right, Jeff.
Maybe tomorrow.
I'm going to go curb stop that kid instead.
Just because I can. Oh, wait, no, you had a drink 2 minutes ago. Oh, yeah, good save.
Hello there, kid. See, I'm going to curb stop you, see?
Come back here this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think I will.
If you are here on this curb this time tomorrow,
I'm stomping you.
Oh, you little cunt. So anyway, Mr. Allman doesn't curb stomp anyone. He just explains that's in the prequel, Mr. Allman.
That's in Dr. Sleep, he comes back.
It's just called Allman. Have you seen that fucking show, Richard, that's called Ratched? And it's a prequel series about the nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Is that what that's about?
Yeah. And why? She's like an anti-hero or something in it.
Why?
I don't fucking know.
I mean, I've heard it's a good series, but I didn't realise it had anything to do with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Who watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Do you know
what's her story?
Her origin. She's a wonderful woman in this movie. Nice to everybody. Not an evil bitch. I don't understand. Why are we getting all these movies now with weird anti-heroes? Like, I get the anti-hero thing, but we're getting weird anti-hero series now. Ratchet. Fucking hell.
That has generally baffled me.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, Ullman explains that the hotel obviously shuts down during the winter months.
Yeah, until May the 1st.
Yeah, it's too expensive to keep it
going. Because Jack questions, like, oh, you know, this would be like a great winter retreat.
He mentioned skiing. I'd love to go skiing.
You love skiing.
That'd be amazing.
He said the place was built in 1907.
Yeah, way before, like, winter holidays were really popular. And it's
they mentioned way too expensive. Though? Sort of happen around that same time, like Winter Olympics and stuff.
1907. Yeah. I don't know my history in 1907.
Well, brush
from 1908 onwards.
I was going to say 1908. I'm your man. Yeah.
I think he later says that it was started. He says now it was built in 1907, but I think later on it was begun building in 1907. That was finished.
That was quick process. It's only small up in a day.
He says basically they only need someone out there to just battle the elements, basically. Against the hotel.
Yeah, fix things as they break.
Yeah.
Keep the boilers running.
Which he does none of.
No, I know. Like, Wendy pretty much does it straight away. Like, I mean, I suppose it cuts to a month later, so maybe he did it for the first month.
I'm bored now, Wendy.
You never see him doing it.
No, you never see him do anything.
No.
And he's the one getting paid. Great gig.
You know, Jack basically says that 5 months of peace is exactly what he wants because he's writing a book or whatever the fuck. This is Stephen King, who's going to the fucking hotel, innit? He asks him if he, you know, about his wife and son, because then he brings up the totally normal thing, you know, she'd left it, you know, nobody. And it is the tragedy of, is it 87?
No, 1970.
Is it 1970?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ, I got the date completely. Yeah, of course.
How could it be 87?
Yeah, I know, I've just realised that. I was like...
Here's something that's going to happen in the future. Right, so you drag me in to your office with an impossible window, and now you're telling me things that are going to happen.
Are you basically saying it's me? I haven't got two fucking girls.
What?
He's bringing them with him.
He's bringing the
two girls with him.
What two girls?
Exactly. The Grady twins.
Exactly.
Bring them with him where? To 1987?
No, to the hotel. No, never mind. That's gone right over your head.
Yeah. Has it gone over your head?
Yeah.
A little bit. I got the Grady twin reference.
Oh my God. Oh, he's taking the two... Oh, you mean he's kidnapping the two girls?
Yeah,
right, that maybe...
There you go.
Yeah, I thought you meant he was taking him to the future. Like, what, for a good time in 87?
We've got to go back to the future.
We've got some cocaine here. It's really big now. Do you want some?
Yes,
I think I do, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically the former caretaker murdered his family and then threw his brains out.
And he's basically like, Wendy will love that. She's into horror movies and ghost stories.
Yeah, the manager's like, what do you mean? You mean you killing her and then blowing your brains out? No, I mean she likes true crime. You scared me.
What
a
are you
bit
on
there,
about?
Jack. Like, I
thought... is there a podcast about this? But what are you on about? You're the time traveller.
Am I? Yeah.
You're telling me stories from 1987 and you don't even know what a podcast is.
I've had enough.
You and your window can fuck off.
Yeah. but he says basically they think they got cabin fever.
Well, again, more time travel, and that film doesn't come out till 2003.
I didn't realise Stanley Kubrick was a fan of that movie.
I don't think he would have been.
Do you think he wouldn't have been? Oh, nah, I think he was like,
no, if he was alive to see the films of Eli Roth, he'd be like, you've outdone yourself, Mr. Roth.
I'm passing the torch.
That's why he died, actually. He saw Roth coming. Like, I can't compete with this.
So... Jack seems kind of shocked about it, but then he just makes jokes, like, straight away. And, you know, says that his wife is a ghost story and horror addict. It's not right. Cheers, mate.
Nice one.
Is the blood still on the floor? She'll love that. She'll love seeing them outlines. Yeah, we couldn't get them out.
Yeah, if you can try and give the stains a scrub over the next 5 months.
The bodies are still there.
The other caretakers couldn't get out before they killed themselves.
I'm a caretaker. I'm not a fucking cleaner. All right.
I've got some news for you, Jack.
They all killed.
There is going to be a lot of cleaning. Oh, no.
It goes mental. That's what it is.
I'll get Shelley to do it.
Yeah.
Wendy, even.
Shelley, I was going to say. Who the fuck is Shelley?
Shelley.
Yeah. Oh.
That's one of the little girls.
My mistress. What? Yeah, I got her from the future. The other one died.
Oh my god, yeah.
One of them couldn't take the elements or she got cold. To be fair, she was outside.
She drank
for a
too
while.
Much bleach.
Yeah. Jesus. Have they gone forward to 2020 when Donald Trump's like, yeah, use your bleach to get rid of COVID? She drank bleach during the 2020 COVID
bleach,
crisis and
you.
She died and then we came back to the past.
I hope there's people listening to this. I haven't seen this film in a while, but I don't remember any of this.
Oh my god. How many dates have they been to now? 87, 2020. Where else are they going?
Who knows?
Did you not say a date? Might have been like 93 or something.
I don't know.
They've been everywhere. Oh, you ruined time travelling for me. So Danny talks to Tony, you know, saying like, oh, is Dad going to get the job?
Yeah, you're going to get a phone call and he's going to fucking tell you.
Yeah. But this is the first time you see his precognitive abilities in show, don't you?
Yes.
Because he's like, yeah, he's going to call. And he's like, fuck, I know he did. He did call. Tony doesn't want to go. Which I assume is Danny doesn't want to go.
I can see why.
Yeah, but he doesn't know why, does he? Because he asked Tony, he's like, why don't you want to tell me?
Because your dad's going to try and fucking kill you. That's why, mate.
My friend, shouldn't you?
It's worse.
And then he gets the vision of the elevator of blood.
Exactly what
cost.
It sounds like.
Two hotties.
Oh, Charlotte. Is this...
No,
from,
but Danny's about the same age, isn't he?
I don't know if people are like, fucking hotties, like at their age.
Tony's like, hey.
Is that not the age of cooties? You're like,
wait,
no, I don't
I'm
going to
get
you.
Laid.
What is wrong with you? This has turned into, Charlotte's turned into Jack Torrance if he was a paedophile. She's embodying this man. Oh, Jesus Christ. Always with the nonce in you. You're worse than me.
What with you and nonce ghosts?
Oh, no. Nonce ghost. Everyone's a nonce ghost.
Not again.
Look, not again?
That was like in the morning.
This is happening too much now. This is too frequent. Oh, fucking hell. Then we cut to Danny being examined because he's apparently passed out.
Yeah, brushing his teeth and then just went a bit
fucked. He has the vision, does he? He has the vision of blood. And he's like, fuck, I'd probably pass out. But what is this? Why am I seeing these things? This is very strange.
If I passed out every time I had a vision of blood, I'd never get anything done.
Yeah. The purse, she's got like a doctor in or something, doesn't she? And she basically says, like, he's all right, it's fine, it's nothing. I think she asks about Tony as well, doesn't she?
Well, yeah, she asks him like basic questions. Like, do you remember what you were doing before you brushed your teeth? Do you remember afterwards? And he's like answering. And then when he brings up Tony, and he's like, I don't want to talk about Tony anymore. He's like, well, you're going to fucking tell me, you little cunt.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's Tony?
Yeah, the mum's
is
like,
it better than me? What are you on about?
Do you love him more? This is the doctor saying that, not the mum.
And the mum's like, stop!
Oh, this hotel trip's exactly what I need.
Everyone abuses Danny in this movie. Jack, the doctor, the ghosts.
Tony.
The doctor says, you know, Wendy shouldn't worry, and she does ask about when Tony started, though, don't she? She's like, when did Tony pop up? She's like, oh, it's kind of when he started nursery. And she's like, oh, well, what happened there? And Wendy's trying to skirt around
don't
the fact...
Know.
Yeah, but she's trying to skirt around the fact that her husband dislocated her...
Yeah, she's very casual about it. She's like, oh, it's just one of those things, you know, when your husband comes in absolutely fucking shit-faced and then fucking fucks your kid up. You know, everyone does it.
You've got my fucking pages everywhere. I'm sick of you. Danny.
The entire time she's got a lit cigarette that she never fucking takes a drink. It just sits there, burning away.
I'll just have this. That's one of the side effects from working with Kubrick. Just sit there now, you're just like, I've got some in my hands. Like, fuck.
Look busy.
Yeah. Don't look him in the eye. You don't look anybody in the eye anymore.
Never look Kubrick in the eye.
Every time she looks at someone, she's like, ah! Like, even a new person, new face, she's like, ugh, I don't know you. Who are you? Are you alright? No, I've worked with Kubrick. Fair enough.
We know how it is.
Post-traumatic Kubrick disorder.
Oh, Jesus. So she says that that incident with his arm is the reason that Jack doesn't drink anymore. Because his alcoholism isn't touched upon that much in this either, is it?
Yeah, but I don't get that, because later on they said that happened 3 years ago, but he only stopped drinking 5 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, never noticed that.
Yeah, because he says he's like, it happened three fucking years ago.
He definitely does say 5 months ago, yeah. At one point. I don't remember the 3 years ago.
Yeah, when he's talking to the guy in the bar.
Yeah, he does, because
he says 5 years
it was
on the wagon.
No, and then he says, when he's on about the arm, he's like, that was 3 fucking years ago. But then he says...
He says he's only been...
Stopped drinking for 5 months. Yeah, that's...
So he's a lying bastard, then.
That's crazy. Like that, yeah. Fucking hell, so... Yeah, I guess it must be implying that he's been lying. Because he says that to Lloyd, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it's not going to matter with Lloyd, is it? Because he's not...
He ain't going to tell no one.
I tweeted about it.
When did you hear about this?
Jack's been off the wagon for less than he says. Dickhead. Now we're going to possess him. So then we get our next title card, which is Closing Day. And the family drive to the Overlook.
Yeah, these Jack very similar of the shots from the
opening
of the film.
Jax already seems very irritated in this car ride. You know, like a typical dad that's been sitting there like listening to...
I mean, to be fair, I'd be very agitated if I had to live with Shelley Duvall.
Yeah.
Or more specifically, Wendy.
She's very high-pitched. But they talk about the Donner party, don't they? And Danny kind of pops up and he's like, oh, you mean they ate each other up? And then Wendy kind of gets a little bit, she's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't be listening to this. And he's like, no, it's okay, Mom. I saw it on the TV.
Yeah, and then Jack Nixon's like, see? Like,
it's okay.
He saw it on the television.
Oh, man. Jack Nicholson is phenomenal in this movie.
Oh, it's awful.
No, can't even joke.
No, I genuinely can't.
He's incredible in this movie.
I'll even throw it out there, probably the best performance of anyone in a horror film.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, me and Charlotte were talking about, because I was...
Well, except maybe the cast of Veronica, of course.
Yeah, they did a very good job. I was kind of torn between One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, weren't I?
Yeah.
With this being Jack Nicholson's best acting, I think. I think it's out of them two films, to be honest with you.
That's the bucket list.
Can you imagine? He's really good in that.
No, Anger Management with Adam Sandler.
He is pretty good in that, yeah. I haven't seen the bucket list.
Oh, great.
I've seen Anger Management, though. That film's great. It's terrible, but it's great. Jack Nicholson's great in that movie. I said over easy when he throws the fucking plate. Oh, man. That film's class.
Enough about Adam Sandler films.
So he meets, they meet Ullman at the hotel, and he kind of begins a tour of, you know, the hotel, I guess.
There's one bit that always sticks out to me as unintentionally hilarious. You know when he asks, I'm not sure it is, one of the guys that either works for or with Ullman. And he like looks at him. Oh, can you make sure can you make sure the Torrance's bags make it to the room? And he goes, fine, and then walks away. It's like, why am I the fucking bag, man? I'm sick of this.
Fine. Oh yeah, I noticed it as well.
Fine.
I was like, that poor man. He's dressed in a suit.
How am I going to carry these all at once?
Do it.
You don't. Fine. I didn't say you had to carry it all at once.
So you can get, you don't get a tip.
You can get the other staff to help you. We've got stuff to carry. It's a hotel.
Fuck you.
Have you been telling me this whole time you've been carrying every single bag up individually? No wonder you're always exhausted.
Fine. Are you all right? Fine.
Oh, he's stuck on a loop he's again.
What? This happens regularly.
Fine.
How have I not been told any of this?
This hotel does have a tendency to send people mental...
Oh, man.
Should have told you that before you accepted the job, but no backsies.
Whoopsie. Yeah, in the lounge, there's some American Indian art as well.
Yeah.
Which will pop up, I think, in the next few minutes, to be honest.
Well, one of the many, many, many conspiracy theories surrounding this film is that this film is about the Native American genocide.
Oh, right. Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. But there's the Apollo one as well. Right?
Yeah.
No, well, I just meant that they've got the art.
Well, yeah,
built
yeah.
on a... Indian burial ground.
In a Stephen King story?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think everything is built, like the dog kennel is built on Indian burial ground. Like, did you have to put the dog kennel on it? Yeah.
Do you think when he was like buying his house for the first time, is this built on the ancient Indian burial ground? No.
I don't want it.
Well, do you have any properties that are built on ancient Indian burial grounds?
I mean, not specifically.
I don't tend to look for that in houses.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I do.
Don't think you're the estate agent for us.
Okay.
Yes, it is, Stephen. Oh, that's great. We'll take it.
Yeah. So Danny plays darts in the game room, and we get our first taste of some ghosts, because the twins show up. They just, like, stare at him and walk off. I'd be like, you fucking rude bitches. What's that about? Come play some darts.
Play some fucking darts.
Yeah. Ullman shows Jack and Wendy the apartment. Jack's like, it's very homey.
But a great place to kill your family. What, yeah. Excuse me?
And he shows them these are all like the locations that are going to be very important later on in the film.
Yeah.
Because he shows them the head mage. Head mage? The head mage? The head mage?
This is the leading wizard. The leading wizard of the...
None of us can speak. on the podcast. But he shows them the hedge maze.
The head mage shows them the hedge maze.
Yeah.
Most people get stuck, but I just tend to teleport. Yeah. It's done magic.
Well, he got, Mr. Ullman comments that it's difficult to maneuver. And it's like, ha, how right you are.
Especially if, say, it was freezing and you were injured. That's an odd thing to bring up, Mr. Ullman.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case you are trying to kill your family. It really seems like you're pushing me towards killing. It's almost like you want me to kill your family. Look, I'm just saying, we do have a hefty payout of insurance if you do kill your family.
But so, who gets the insurance?
The hotel.
Oh, it's no good.
Oh, this is worth that,
that's
suicide.
Why they hire caretakers on mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that keeps the hotel afloat. We haven't had a caretaker kill themselves in 10 years and close to bankruptcy.
Please kill yourself.
Good tourism.
So he also shows them the snow cat as well, which is their only way out. He takes them through to the gold ballroom, which again, very empty at this point, but will not be later on. And it's funny because they're all like, oh, you know, I bet we could have a ball in here. Yeah. And it's like, ha.
I think this is when they also mentioned that all the alcohol gets taken away while it's closed for insurance purposes.
Jack says, he's like, we don't drink. And he seems like kind of annoyed about it.
God, I want a drink.
Yeah. And Dick Halloran is introduced.
Scatman Crothers.
Yeah. Love him. So Danny shows up and Jack ends up going with Ullman and Wendy and Danny go with Halloran.
I just love how old-fashioned this is. It's like, well, this is a kitchen, so you've got no business here, Jack. Yeah. When Wendy gonna deal with this?
Show the kitchen, yeah. But Wendy's like in there and she's like, I don't know how to use half of this stuff. Because he shows them around pretty much everything, doesn't he?
I mean, like, even I'd be intimidated by this kitchen as well.
Oh, yeah,
well.
I can like it. But I mean, like, even at the, you know, with the stereotype.
This is a lot just to make beans.
That's all you're going to eat for 5 months.
Please don't just make us beans for 5 months. This will send me insane, Wendy.
When he's going through, it's like, we got 50 chickens, 12. It's like, how many pot noodles?
Pot noodles?
Yeah, how many pot noodles you got?
I don't know what you're talking about there here, pot noodles.
Super noodles, then.
Super noodles? Wow. Do they go to space? Oh, fucking hell. This is Jack been to 87. They got super noodles. So he shows them the walk-in freezer, and Halloran ends up calling Danny Doc.
Doesn't yeah. And Wendy calls him out on it.
Yeah.
How'd like, you fucking know we call him Doc, you nonce?
Yeah.
I'm fucking psychic, ain't I?
You what? You're a nonce. Only a nonce would say that kind of excuse.
Imagine that in court.
Please stop calling me a nonce.
I genuinely am psychic.
No, you're not. You're a nonce.
I'm telling you, I'm psychic, right? And that fucking judge is a nonce. I can read minds. Yeah. The judge is what?
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. Executed. I want his execution for tonight. I don't think it works like that, Judge.
Done now. Can't be undone.
I mean, he's a judge. Maybe he can do that.
Oh, fucking hell.
90. I don't think there was a lot of outright shootings by
judges in court sessions.
Well, it's in America. You never know.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, you have got a point. That's, no, not even then. Now. He shot him. Did he? Yeah, it seems fair.
Standard.
So yeah, but Halloran is, you know, he's just like, well, I probably heard you call him it. And he shows them the storage room, which Jack gets locked in later on in the movie. And
I wouldn't even complain if I got locked in here. I've got everything I need.
It's my favourite line of the film. I was cracking up at it.
What?
Got to keep regular if you're going to keep happy.
Why do you like
it? Bows.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
I'm on about your shit.
They both just start laughing, though.
Nah, it doesn't beat. Fine.
Yeah, fine. fine. Oh, he's gone again, for fuck's sake. Someone get him a remote. Fucking hell.
40 minutes into this recording.
I probably heard you call him it. Fine.
How do you know we call him fine?
It's the way you're saying it now. Oh, fine. Like you're trying to push it out. Oh my god. Danny and Halloran shine at this point, don't they? Because Halloran's like, you want some ice cream? And you're like, oh no.
Run. No.
Yeah.
Fine.
Can you imagine? You're just sitting there, and then in your head, fine.
Jesus. It's a good thing the other guy doesn't shine. Why don't you just use the psychic powers to move the bags?
Fine! I'm pretty sure you didn't open your mouth then when you said fine. And he's just fine. Like, oh my god. Why are you not speaking? No, say it. I'd rather you said it than project it into my head. Fine! Is that how he like blows people's heads up as well? It just goes, fine! It just gets louder and louder. Oh my god. He needs a prequel series now. Mr. Fine.
We called it the Fine.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus. My stomach's sore.
Fine.
I'm gonna say that when anybody asks me to do anything anymore. Fine. When you ask me to do something, I'm just gonna be like, fine.
That's what you say anyway.
It's not for saying like that.
You do, exactly like that.
Oh man. Fucking hell. So Ullman and Jack come back and they want Wendy to come with them, so poor Danny gets left with Halloran. Please don't.
Should we just leave this child with this man we've just met?
Please don't leave him. He's talking in my head. Oh, Danny, don't be silly. I'm fucking being serious. Just keep saying fine to me. So Halloran and Danny have a little heart-to-heart over The Shining, which is... He says his grandmother had it, and that a lot of people have it, but they either don't know it or they don't believe it. And Danny says that Tony doesn't allow him to talk about it shining, but this is his self-conscious way of just like putting it down, doesn't he? So it's like, because I assume it scares people. Well, I mean, that's actually a plot point in the next film, in the sequel, about it being a scary thing to have a kid that can talk in your head. Milk. Halloran asks Danny if Tony's ever told him about the Overlook. And then Danny's like, Mr. Halloran, are you scared of this place? And then Mr. Halloran's like,
fucking terrified.
Yeah. Like, he looks terrified, but he's like, no, I'm definitely not. No. I'm not scared of it.
Why doesn't he just get a job somewhere else?
But he basically says that, like people, some places shine too. And that some are good and some are bad. And Danny says to him, like, is there something bad in here? And he compares it to, like, burnt toast, doesn't he? He says there's, like, there's sometimes when things happen, there's, like, an afterburn kind of thing. And he says, like, you know, when you burn your toast, obviously, you know, you've left a mark there. So he compares that to the Overlook.
And it fucking stinks.
What stinks?
Burnt toast.
Yeah, I like burnt toast. Ugh. So Danny asks about room 237, and he's like, you're scared of room 237, ain't you? And then Halloran's like, I'm fucking not. He actually does get annoyed with him. Though, yeah, he's like,
I'm not scared of anything.
No, he's like, no.
I bet you're scared, ain't you, little fucking pussy.
Stay away from me, you little fucking cunt.
Fine.
Jesus. And it cuts to 1 month later, so they've been here for a while now. And Danny's riding about on his tricycle like he does about 70 times in this movie. Wendy takes breakfast to Jack in bed. And there's these really cool shots where in the bedroom, because you can see him in the bed because he's in the mirror at the opposite side. And they do it a few times.
Yeah, they do it later on when Danny goes to get his fire truck as well, don't they?
And he, you know, they're chatting. Jack comments that he hasn't been able to write anything yet. But he also says he's never been this happy or comfortable. And he said he fell in love with it right away. Which, Wendy and Danny don't seem the same about that, do they? They seem to be kind of still not too taken with the place. And he makes a comment about how he says he feels like he's always been there. Which is very important. But this is obviously the change already starting in him, doesn't he? Isn't it? This whole, I feel like I've always been here. I think this is the Overlook infecting him already.
Yeah, definitely.
Claiming him. Mm-hmm. They're like, right.
Well, he has been there a month, so.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they've got their hooks in. But I mean, this must be the start of it where they just make you feel good. It's like, oh, it's a lovely place. You know what I mean? Come in. And then kill your family.
It's a bit of a leap.
So it's funny because straight after this, when he's on about not writing, we cut to just a very short scene. And Jack, it's like a shot of the typewriter, which is empty. Nothing's been written on it. And Jack's, like, procrastinating by just throwing a ball. And it's like, oh, he really can't write. like at all. Wendy and Danny, they go through a walk through the maze, which is like, Danny, you'll be back here.
Yep.
Not for good reasons. And at this, while they're in the maze, Jack looks into the model of the maze.
Yeah.
And then it like turns into like this bird's eye view shot
of them in the maze.
In the maze. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like really cool, the transition. And then we're on Tuesday. Wendy's making food at this point, and this is the first time you hear on the news about the incoming storm, which is supposed to be going to be really bad.
Yeah, although later on say it's like one of the worst they've had like in years.
Yeah. Danny rides around on his tricycle again, and he kind of stops when he gets to room 237, and he tries to enter it.
Yeah.
But it's locked, and then he kind of like, well, he gets the shits, doesn't he? Because he just gets
it's like he senses something. He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm fucking out of here.
It's weird because I think we've all felt like that before at some point. You know, when you're in like an empty house or something, you're like, wait a minute, I'm getting out of this fucking room. It's weird.
We all shine a little.
Yeah. So they cut to Jack typing now. Wendy walks in and he quickly hides the paper, which is, if you've watched the film, he's obviously just sitting there writing the same phrase over and over and over and over and over again. So this is the first point where it's like he's actually being fucking secretive. He gets really weird from now on. And she's kind of coming in to chat with him. And he's kind of like, you know, she asks him, you know, oh, have you seen the weather? And he's like, what do you want me to do about it? And she's like, you know, yeah, don't be so like that, grouchy. Yeah. And then he just goes, flies off the handle.
Because he's so sorry for her at this point.
Yeah, it's like,
poor woman just wants to have a chat.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you know, have you seen the weather? And he's like, yeah, fucking what?
Well, at least the cast and crew of the film were just lovely to her, so.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's what I mean. You feel even more sorry for her when you know what she went through.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible. It's awful.
It's poor, poor woman. But yeah, he basically says that, you know, if you hear me typing and then...
If you don't hear me typing.
Yeah, stay the fuck out, like, basically. And then he turns around and he's like, you know, why don't you start right now and get the fuck out of here? And you're like, Jesus!
Well, he really, like, berates her. He's like, you think you can handle that?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And that's where he's like, well, why don't you start now and get the fuck out of here?
Yeah. It's awful.
Fine.
So, it's Thursday, and quite short this day. Wendy and Danny are playing around in the snow, and Jack is just staring through the window.
This image is haunting.
It's grim.
Like, the look on Jack's face is incredible.
It's weird because he's like, it's like he's starting to smirk.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't smirk, and then he's kind of starting to smirk, and it's like, there's so much mix of emotions in this. It's freaking me out a little bit. Can you imagine if you just walk past and you're like,
You're right there, mate.
I'm going to keep going.
You're going to kill us, aren't you?
Then it's Saturday. Jack's typing again.
At this point, the hotel's like completely fucking covered in snow.
Yeah, well, it's Wendy's like... trying to get an outside line at this point, isn't
she? Yeah.
And the phones are down. So she goes to the radio instead and gets in contact with the Forest Service. You know, she mentions her concerns and he's basically like, you know, don't worry about it. The phones do sometimes go down with these storms, but I advise you to keep your radio on the whole time now.
I even feel sorry for Wendy at this bit, because she's just having like a jittle, and then they're very politely like, is there anything else we can help you with?
Yeah, and it's like,
basically saying,
like,
can you fuck off?
Yeah, but she genuinely is trying to just make conversation.
Oh, should they?
She hasn't got anybody to chat to.
No, no, Jack's just typing the same shit all over and over and over.
Danny's fucking...
Why
don't
she just go on fucking Facebook or something?
Fuck, no.
Didn't think of that.
She's got no friends on Facebook, that's why.
It's just Jack. He's changed his profile pictures that, like, when he's staring.
Ooh, I've got a message from Stanley Kubrick. I fucking hate you.
Yeah. So Danny rides around on the tricycle and runs straight into the twins.
Come play with us, Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Come play with us.
Yeah.
Forever and ever and ever.
Well, then he sees, like, an image of them axe murdered.
Yep,
chopped
up.
Then he's like, Tony... I'm scared, and it's like, I would be scared, mate, if I'm a grown man, and if I got flashes of axe murderings, I'd be...
You don't get
down.
Flashes of axe murdering?
And Tony basically turns around and says, you know, remember what Halloran said, it's just pictures in a book. Monday now, and Danny's watching a movie with Wendy, and he wants to go upstairs and get his toy. And Wendy's kind of hesitant at first, isn't she? Because she's like, no, your dad's sleeping, like, please don't disturb him, because he goes fucking mental.
Bash you up.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys notice anything weird about the TV they're watching?
No.
There's no wires.
Oh, is there not?
Nope. No wires connected to the TV at all. So are they even really watching TV?
God, that's weird. What would that... Jesus, so it's fucking with them too, then. She gives in, though, and says, yeah, go
fine.
Well, he kind of sneaks into the bedroom, doesn't he?
And yeah, because he's all tippy toes.
Jack's just sitting there.
And he's like wide awake.
I don't.
That's where you see him, like, in the mirror.
Yeah.
And he's even like, can I go get my fire truck for my room?
And he's, this is a
really. Even the way Danny's like talking, it's like, I don't really want to be here. Yeah.
Well, he's really uncomfortable in this scene.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, why don't you come over here a minute? And then he's like, you know, are you having a good time, Doc? I want you to have a good time. And it's kind of like he's kind of forcing him to say,
yeah,
I'm having a good time.
He's like, yeah, don't fucking dare tell me that you're not having a good time.
Yeah. And he also says that, you know, he wishes he could stay in the hotel forever and ever. And it's like, oh my God, the twins have just said that. Like, the hotel's really taking him at this point. And Danny obviously gets like a bad feeling for him because he's like, you know, you wouldn't ever hurt me or mummy, would you?
Maybe.
And Jack's like, yeah, I would.
Yeah. Well, he says no, but it looks like he's saying yes. Because he's like, no, I would never do that. And you're like, I think you...
Well, he's not going to hurt them, is he? He's just going to bash their brains in.
So then it's Wednesday. And Danny is playing and something rolls a ball towards him.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if you've noticed this, but he's playing with his toys, then the ball comes in, and then when it goes back, the carpets change directions.
Oh, fucking hell. Jesus.
How do you notice these things?
From 237.
Oh, yeah, you've watched that documentary, yeah, haven't you? Yeah, fucking hell. I need to watch that. So room 237 is unlocked, and he obviously decides that's a pretty good opportunity to go somewhere I'm not supposed to go. The one specific place that Halloran said don't go. And he's like, I'm going
to
go there.
It's the worst thing to say to a kid, though. If you tell them not to do something, they're like, fucking doing that?
He's got the fucking shrine in. Come on.
There's a moldy bitch in there.
Yeah. That's a great way to describe her. Moldy bitch. This is where Wendy's doing Jack's work. She's down in the boiler, like, doing all the fucking... It's the only time you see the fucking boiler, I think.
She should be like, when she reads the all work and no play makes Jack a billboard, what fucking work?
Yeah, exactly. Well, she hears Jack yell, and Jack's like, and having a really bad nightmare. And she wakes him up, and he's, you know, he's like, I had the most terrible nightmare I've ever had. He says it was about him killing Wendy, and then cutting them into pieces. And you can see Wendy's like,
Can we leave?
Yeah, like...
Can we leave, please?
Freaking me out a little bit now, to be honest. Also, if you notice as well, like, Jack's appearance gets worse and worse because he grows more stubble.
Yeah.
He's not shaving or anything now, and his hair looks quite lank most of the time, do you know what I mean? So he's obviously like... I'm guessing he's just sitting at the typewriter for most of the time. Because there's like...
Well, yeah, he's not doing the caretaking, is he?
No, of course not. But, I mean, like, he's literally typing, like, the whole time.
And somebody actually had to type that all out.
Yeah, we said this, didn't we, when we watched it? It was like, that poor fucker that had to type that out.
Well, there's rumours that Kubrick did it all himself.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Everyone needs a hobby.
Probably got Wendy to do it.
Got probably got what?
Wendy to do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm generally surprised that he didn't, like, make Jack or someone do it.
Probably because Jack Nicholson went, fuck off, mate. I'm not writing that.
You can make me all the cheese sandwiches you want, but I'm not fucking typing all this nonsense.
Yeah. Danny walks in at this point, and he's kind of catatonic in a way. He's kind of just walking, sucking his thumb, and he's been attacked.
It's like he's regressed to, like, being a baby.
Yeah. Wendy assumes it's Jack that's done it, and the look on Jack's face at this point is tragic, because I think this is actually Jack, because he's like, no, I genuinely haven't done this. Yeah. And I think the reaction he gives, there's kind of some sort of, he doesn't know if he did it or not.
Yeah, he's like, shit, did I do it?
Yeah. Like, he's kind of looking like, as if he wants to say, like, fuck off, I didn't do it. But then he's kind of like, wait, did I do it? I don't know. Like, I'm going a bit mental here. So after this, he walks around and he's like muttering to himself. He's like fucking like pissed off, obviously, that he's been accused of this. And he goes into the gold room and goes over to the bar. And he says, I'd do anything for a drink. I'd give my goddamn soul for a glass of beer.
Hotel's like, yeah, we'll take up on that.
Exactly. Suddenly the bar is stocked up and Lloyd is there. The bartender.
With his shit-eating grin.
Yeah. And Jack talks to him straight away like he knows him.
Yeah.
It's so strange, isn't it? He's just like...
He's like, slow tonight, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's like, not busy, are you? He says, if you pour him and I'll knock him down. And then he says, white man's burden. It's like, Jesus. Like, even when he's drinking, he's kind of like, oh, you know, it's kind of like a burden, I have to do this. Like, you know, looking for excuses for his drinking, in a sense. And he says, you know, Lloyd basically says to him,
fine,
you've got enough credit here. And Jack says, you're the best goddamn bartender from Timbuktu to Portland, Maine.
There has to be Maine there somewhere, doesn't it?
Of course. Was that a dig? I don't know, like, ha. Fucked with your story, Stephen. And this is where he has a toast to a horrible 5 months on the wagon. So, yeah, you're definitely right.
Yep.
Little cunt. Then he confides to Lloyd about not hitting Danny, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I never laid a hand on him. He says that Wendy will never let him forget, you know, what happened. And you're right, that's when he says it was three goddamn years ago. And this is where he says something like, momentary loss of muscular coordination.
That's great.
And this will be important in the sequel, because they don't keep continuity with this. Wendy shows up with a bat, like, at several points in this movie. And she basically says, you know, she goes to him and Lloyd isn't there. The bar isn't stocked and he's just kind of sitting there. And she's this is probably one of my favourite lines in the movie, because she comes in and she goes, you know, there's a crazy woman in one of the rooms. And Jack turns around and he looks at her like she's mental. And just goes, are you out of your fucking mind?
Next you'll be telling me she was mouldy.
Yeah. And it's just so funny because, like, he's fucking out there. And he just turns to her and is like, are you out of your fucking mind?
He's just been speaking to somebody else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Are you out of your
fucking mind? Wait till I tell Lloyd about this.
Yeah.
Wait, who? Lloyd, the bartender. What are you on about, Jack? Lloyd, the fucking bartender in the gold room.
We're in the gold room.
Can't you see him?
Lloyd isn't there. Where have you gone, Lloyd? She says that a woman tried to strangle Danny.
So crazy lady in the bathtub.
And he says, what room was it? Which is obviously 237. But at this point, we cut to one of probably my favourite scene of the movie. It's Halloran in his house, and this is the best fucking room ever.
What is his decor?
Oh, it's incredible. So all he's got is photos of naked black women with giant afros. It's incredible. Like,
impractically large. You wouldn't be able to get through doors.
Well, I mean, I think it would just hair would look.
Yeah, but it would mess up your barnet. Exactly. Like, every time
you just have to crouch down, wouldn't you?
Imagine. What's he doing?
I have to carry 17 cans of hairspray with me at all times.
Is it a giant hedgehog?
I'd love an afro.
He's. Would
I don't think he'd suit one.
I'd never get one, but I'd love one.
I think you should get one just so we can see it.
I think people. I wouldn't suit one, though.
No.
But I just think they look amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Yeah. You should get one.
I'm not getting an afro. I'm sorry.
Both get afros.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Do it.
Halloran's watching the report about how the snowstorm's getting more deadly, and he gets a vision, and this is obviously Danny calling to him.
But the face Halloran pulls.
Yeah, I know. Well, Danny's having a fucking seizure at this point. It looks like... I know, just dribbling, and he's like, you are fucked, mate.
Maybe Halloran's... Have you been
bit by a rabid animal?
That's why he's pulling that face.
For fuck's sake.
Oh my god. Jack's bashing one out for him.
And Halloran can see. He's like...
That's why he's got all them pictures.
Oh no, I'll get my... Yeah, because he gets visions every now and again of kids wanking. He's like, I need these photos. Take my mind off.
I need some sexy ladies.
Yeah.
No, not a paedophile. I was just saying that he was bashing one out, not Danny.
What, Halloran?
Yeah, not Danny.
Over what? Over Danny?
No, he's just bashing one out.
Well, I mean, he's got pictures of naked black women. I'm sure he goes...
Mm. He's in a state of constant arousal.
I'm going to have a wank.
I should really take these down.
When he's not at the hotel, he's just bashing them out.
Stop saying bashing them out now. Enough of bashing them out. This is going to turn into the new shunting. Oh, fucking hell. So
apparently, if the Doctor Sleep did well financially, which it didn't, they were going to do a Halloran prequel.
Oh, so maybe it was just going to be him
bashing one out constantly.
I'd watch that.
Oh my god! I'd watch that. Watching I wouldn't him watch bashing a fucking the bishop. Halloran. Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Jesus, was Flanagan going to do it?
I hope not.
Oh my god! Because that's what, and it would have been called Halloran.
No, that was genuinely going to be the title, Vic. No. It was just going to be called Halloran.
They should just called it
Dick.
Yeah.
People just know. Do you think this is about that guy from The Shining?
No, it's about penises. That's what it's about.
I mean, it would make more sense than having a prequel about the fucking nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Ah, oh, I don't know. They're both bad. Horrible ideas. Fucking hell. So they're not doing it now.
Well, Doctor Sleep didn't do very well financially. I'm kind of glad, as much as I like the film. So I don't need Halloran prequels.
No, I don't. I don't need fucking silly prequels about side characters in movies. I definitely want to know where he came from. What would they have made it about? Him just shining?
Oh, probably. I can
hear somebody talking. Pretty good. It's pretty good.
I don't know, maybe it'd be about him and his granddad.
We'll find out how he died.
Halloran. I mean, you find out how he dies in this movie.
He gets axed.
He gets axed, the question.
Of course he does.
He gets Scatman Crothered. Yeah.
Yeah, he is the...
Should have seen that coming, though, shouldn't he, really?
He's the sire.
Should have seen that coming.
Scatman Crothering.
Well, he didn't see it coming because it's not in the book, but fucking hell, Thor's going to live!
How did he not see it coming? Yeah, that's exactly, a very good point. That is a very good point. I mean, I guess you could say that the hotel's fucking with him.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Good enough, is it?
Anyway.
I imagine it's just one of those things that don't work like that.
Yeah, but then everything works in the second film. Everything works in the sequel. This is what I don't understand. We'll get into that. Anyway, let's we'll forget about...
Somehow perfected it.
Well, no, it's just like everybody's got a different skill, and it's like...
I don't know about this.
So we see, it's like a POV shot into... I love this shot, where he's like walking into room 237, into the bathroom. And this naked woman gets out of the bath.
Looking quite good.
Yeah, she's right. Yeah.
Could do a bit of a shave down there, but,
she's kind of like...
It was that era.
Yeah. So he kind of like goes, yeah, I'm up for this.
Don't care, my wife's downstairs, but come on.
Nah, start snogging her. And then she goes all moldy.
It's like, still better than what I've got.
Jesus, yeah. She fucking won't stop crying. To be fair, it's all the abuse we're giving her, but, you know.
She gets abuse. I have to eat cheese sandwiches. We've all got it rough right now.
Kubrick movie, innit?
The moldy bitch is like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, like, fucking convince you to kill your family.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need convincing.
So she turns into a decrepit ghost. And he's moldy all bitch. Like, oh no.
I'm ain't not have any this. Of that.
No.
Bit too much mold for me.
By the way, the effects on this one is great.
Yeah, especially for the time.
Like, really good. It looks fucking real, mate.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Kubrick got a real moldy bitch.
Yeah. Let her rot for a bit. I mean,
how do you get somebody to rot?
Yeah,
for
exactly.
A bit?
I was just about to say, look, I don't know if you
kill her, then reanimate her. The technology is not there yet, Stanley.
If it was, I don't know if we'd be doing it.
Probably be illegal.
So yeah, Jack kind of stumbles out, and she's laughing the whole time. So we cut back to Halloran in the most like fucking 70s house ever, and he tries to call the hotel, but obviously the phone's out.
He's got a pretty fucking swanky place for someone who's just a cook at hotel. Yeah.
That's, but I bet you he gets a pretty
it's
good wage for that.
It's a pretty nice hotel, though, isn't it? So he probably just get paid the big bucks.
Wendy's waiting for Jack to come back, and when he comes back, he tells her nothing's happened. He's like, no.
No.
There's no moldy bitches in the bathtub.
I think there's nobody.
Why would
about.
You specifically say there's no moldy bitches? Well, there's not. So.
Do you not say that when you go into
are there any unmolded bitches? There's one. But she's not moldy. Are you all right, Jack?
You're lying to me, aren't you? No.
Did an attractive woman come out of the bath and then become old and mouldy?
I mean, you've been very specific, no. Wendy, but...
Yes.
I have to... Yeah. Have you got The Shining? What's The Shining? Oh, I don't know either.
Don't know what that means.
Danny comes up. You've got The Shining too!
I'll ask the head mage.
Well, why is he Irish?
I don't know. Sounds like a leprechaun. So he says that, you know, Danny's obviously done it to himself because there's no explanation otherwise.
Danny looks...
Because he was like, I wouldn't be, you know, that unlike his other episodes. And then that's Wendy's like, you might be right.
You fucking...
Probably more likely than moldy bitches.
And, at this point we see Danny's having a vision of Redrum, doesn't he? He sees, like, Redrum written.
Redrum written.
Red... Oh, that's not something I wanted to... Redrum Rim.
That's what it sounded like you said.
Don't know about this.
Don't know about that.
Wendy says that, because Jack's quite concerned in this scene, and then Wendy mentions leaving, and Jack just switches, like straight away, he gets fairly aggressive. And he basically says, you know, I've let you fuck up my life so far, I'm not going to, you know, let you fuck up this.
Get a divorce, guys.
Yeah.
You're clearly not happy together.
Well, he goes downstairs, wrecks the kitchen... And then he hears music, doesn't he? So he investigates. And we see that the corridor is littered with, like...
Balloons and confetti.
Party.
Party.
Shit like
party.
That.
Party!
Halloran at this
gold
point...
Room's looking lit.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Nice!
Oh, fucking stop. Both ears. Halloran talks to the forest radio people. And he asks them to contact the family. Jack walks into a massive party in the gold room.
Heaven.
Yeah, and, you know, he goes to the
well bar. Over the social distance in a minute.
Yeah.
Shining 2020.
Stay away from me. All the ghosts are like, whoa.
Maintain whoa, 2 meters.
Yeah.
Where's your mask? Got to wear
dead,
them indoors.
Right. It doesn't matter if they get COVID.
What?
The ghosts, it doesn't matter if they get COVID.
They don't want it still.
Don't want to be double dead.
But he goes to the bar again, Lloyd's like, you know, your money's no good here. And Jack seems like hurt. He's like, what? Why? Because he, you know, he's kind of like, I think Lloyd says orders from the house. And Jack's like, well, I'd like to know who's buying my drinks, to be honest. And Lloyd very ominously says, you know, whoever's buying your drinks doesn't matter right now.
Yeah, doesn't concern you.
At least right now. And then Jack bumps into the waiter. So the waiter's like, you know, let's go to the toilet. I'll clean you up. And
I bet he will.
That could be taken the wrong way.
Some shunting.
Clean you up.
You're making it worse.
If the waiter now asked me to go to the toilet to wipe my shirt, I'd be like,
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'll just take my jacket off. It's fine now.
Yeah.
No, I'll clean you up. Good
boy. He starts rubbing him, doesn't he?
Yeah, I hate when people do that. It's like, don't.
Please don't rub me.
I'll wipe up my own stains, thank you. So they go to the toilet, and Jack realises that it's Delbert Grady, the guy that killed his family the last.
Jack's like dead casual about this.
He looks pretty uncomfortable, though. He's like, oh, shit.
He's like, is it? He's having that, like, is it? And he's like, yeah.
He's like, didn't you cut your wife and kids up into little pieces?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't recall.
Yeah. Well, he gets really serious now. Well, he's like, you know, you're a married man, Mr. Grady. And, you know, he's obviously like, yeah. And he's like, you know, Mr. Grady, you were the caretaker here. And he's like, that's when he gets really serious. He's like, it's very strange, sir. I have no recollection of that. And it's like, oh no. And it's funny because then he keeps going on and he's like, I beg to differ, sir. But I recall you are the caretaker. And he's like, you know, he says you've always been the caretaker. And he says as well, I should know. I've always been here. Grady then starts going off the fucking deep end. And he's like, oh, did you know that your son is talking to an outside party? This is where we get the very infamous line. He says, he's talking to a cook, a nigger cook. And then even Jack's kind of like, what, really? Oh, dear. And you're like, I don't know if the fucking Overlook's racist as well. The Overlook is racist. It like Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, but Greg Creed was like, but I'm not appalled with the fact that he's black. It's cooks I don't like.
Yeah. But like, do you think like Stanley Kubrick is like, no, it needs to be racist as well. Does it? Does the hotel needs to be raped? Yeah, it's not completely evil until it's racist. Okay, you're a fucking weirdo.
Hasn't Stephen King got a thing for dropping the N-bomb a lot, though?
Has he? Yeah, but a Stanley Kubrick. Because this isn't really a Stephen King movie.
No, but this bit is in the book as well.
Yeah, he does drop it, yeah.
Yeah. No, but I've not really read Stephen King, but I've just heard people say that he uses it a lot in the in like his books in general.
Yeah, but it is usually for racist people. It's not.
I would. Yeah. I don't imagine like, it's just.
It makes him sound very bad when they say like he just drops it in.
No. You know, I imagine there's context.
I think it's usually for horrible.
Not just in like not like in Pet Sematary. Jed wakes up.
To be honest with you, if this is in the book, I don't remember that. Then yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago that I listened to it, but
yeah.
I remember there being a lot of
To be fair, I've only read it once. But yeah, so he says, anyway, let's enough of the
racism.
Yeah. He says your son is a very great talent and he's a very willful boy and a very naughty boy, if I may be so bold, sir. That's when he starts saying, what was that?
What?
It was a bark. I thought it sounded like a bark.
Now I'm hearing thumps.
Chunts. Oh dear.
And cunts.
Yeah, you're here.
We.
So, yeah, he says that it's the mother that's, you know, she's interfering. And he's like, perhaps they did a good talking to. Or perhaps more. And he tells him then that one of his daughters tried to burn down the Overlook, but he corrected her.
Smashing her head.
And then it's like, you know, you had no recollection of killing your family, but you just said it, mate.
Oh, yeah, I've tripped myself over, right? I kill your family.
So Wendy's going over, like, talking to herself, isn't she, about the escape routes of getting out?
Yeah, yeah.
And she basically talking to herself saying, like, you know, well, if Jack won't come with us, we'll just go ourselves. This is where Danny's like, Red Ram!
Red Ram! Yeah. Red Ram!
And he's like, he's kind of like catatonic again, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then Tony starts talking.
Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance.
Yeah, Danny's gone away, Mrs. Torrance. And then Jack's walking through the hotel, isn't he? and he hears the forest station calling through the radio, obviously because Halloran asked them to get in contact, and he just disables it.
Yeah, he takes some fucking component out.
Yeah.
So I ain't having any of this.
Yeah. So then Halloran is told that they couldn't contact them, so Halloran's obviously like fucking worried at this point. He's like, shit. And then we start getting times, because this is the final day, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is 8 a.m. Halloran's on a plane to the, you know, give him his fucking due. Like, this man is getting the business done, isn't he? He's like, he's on the plane.
I know, poor bastard.
Yeah, I know.
Just to get smited.
I know, straight away.
I just find it hilarious that he's still dressed up for the occasion, though. He's, like, got, like, a suit and tie on.
Yeah. See, this is the kind of point, like, you know, like, with how powerful they make out Danny to be in the sequel, is why, like, even he wouldn't have noticed this. And maybe, like, Halloran, you're about to get axed.
Yeah, a question, exactly. Mate.
Like, he's, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, in this movie, it seems like the, you know, the visions he's sending to Halloran is taking a lot more out of him than anything seems to do in the sequel.
Yeah.
But I think they do say, like, the older you get, the...
No, they said the older you get, yeah, the less you shine. Yeah, that's but what then I mean, he's more powerful in the sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Dan, they also say that no one shines as bright as Danny.
I agree, but I'm saying in this film, it seems like it's taken him a lot more to do, like, one vision to Halloran than, like, fucking talking away to him, like, as a ghost in the, in the new one, or even doing, you know, the, oh, we'll get into that, because that's going to, but there's, like, the bit in the van I'm on about. In Doctor Sleep, where it's Danny's like ridiculously powerful. Yeah, but in this, it seems like he's...
Well, he's a Jedi.
He's a little pussy. Hello, he's a little pussy in this.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
He's a child.
He's a little pussy.
Oh my God. I think Charlotte's having a stroke.
Fine.
Yeah. But yeah, you can tell Halloran's anxious because he's asking for the arrival time. And he's
8:20.
Yeah. Jack's still typing on his typewriter. The plane touches...
I've just had a thought
about
him. You know, I mentioned he was in... like a suit and tie. Mm-hmm. I swear back in the day, you had to dress formally to go on a plane.
Possibly.
I remember hearing that somewhere.
Yeah. Fuck that, just to get what, like smoke all over your suit. You used to be able to smoke on planes.
But you'd be
as well.
Smoking. You smoke.
Yeah, I know, but...
You'd have ash on yourself.
No, I don't, to be fair,
all
if
these
I...
People
yeah, but not smoke. Other people smoke.
I'm sick of all your...
The commoners.
I'm
if
sick
we could
of
smoke
it.
On planes, I don't think I'd want to. I
mean, well, no, I wouldn't. It's
disgusting.
Too. Yeah, it's way too close. Way.
No, I agree. Like, I don't get drinking on trains either.
No,
that annoys me when I see people like driving.
I mean,
it's
I know
like,
you're perfectly allowed. Like, you can literally buy
it.
But I'm just
it
like,
still seems tacky.
Yeah.
It's like you've. Then they all get rowdy, and it's like you're in a fucking train.
Yeah,
mate.
Like, shut
some
up.
People are going to the zoo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, some people
are
going out with their family, and it's like you're sitting there with cans of fucking
I was in the quiet carriage once, and there was, like, all these women drinking, and then at the end they realised they were in the quiet coach and went, oops.
See what I mean? Because they were pissed.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Don't get it.
Anyway, enough rants about drinking on trains, but the plane touches down, and Halloran calls a favour in, doesn't he, at this garage place. Durkin's, or Larry at Durkin's Garage or something. And he's basically, you know, like, what, you know, how are you doing in Florida? And he's like, no, I'm down here and I need
a snowmobile.
It's great because he makes up a line. It's like, turned out they were completely unreliable assholes.
Yeah, yeah. And he says that he's going to the Overlook to see if he has to replace them. And it's like, ugh. Larry must be like, are you a hitman? Are you going to kill these people?
No, I'm just a cook.
Yeah. So Halloran, you know, is driving, hearing about how bad the roads are. He passes an overturned lorry at this point, which I believe does happen in the book as well. I think he... Wendy's still trying to comfort Danny, who's still, you know, fucked. So she leaves to check on Jack. She takes the bat with her as well. I was like, good on you, Wendy. He's probably a nutcase. This is where she goes, and one of the best scenes in the film... She goes and checks his typewriter, and...
He's wrote some good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, one of the other conspiracy theories of this film is that this film was Stanley Kubrick's confession that he directed the moon
Apollo,
landing.
Because
it's A-1-1. Danny wears an Apollo 11 jumper throughout the film.
Yeah. But it says, all work and no play make Jack a dull boy. And then Jack walks in. And he's literally written, like, hundreds of pages of this.
And he's like, how do you like it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, a bit repetitive, but starts off well.
Well, she's terrified.
Rightfully
she's like,
so.
I'm just coming in to talk. And he's like, okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
I don't remember. You can't remember?
Yeah, well, he's taunting her, like, all the way through. He's just, like, abusing her, basically, isn't he? And Danny's kind of sitting hearing this all, isn't he, as well? Because he's shining, like, you know, he can hear them downstairs, I think. And then he's like, I think we should discuss Danny. Wendy's obviously, like, backing off as he's approaching. Like, this whole time, he's just, like, advancing on her, isn't he?
He looks like a menace.
Yeah, no, but it's like he never breaks stride.
Why
is
you in the word menace?
She loves the word menace.
I like the word menace.
Yeah. Yeah, she does use menace all the time. And then he kind of flips out, doesn't he? Because, you know, they're talking about Danny. And he's like, and are you concerned about
me?
And then he just like, loses the fucking plot. And then obviously Wendy's like, stay away from me. Stay away from me. She reminds me of your impression of fucking Renee Zellweger from... You know, when she's on about
Leatherface. He had a chainsaw. That's it, yeah. He was chasing me with a chainsaw.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me. And then probably the best fucking line in the movie.
Jack's, it's a white line, I guess.
Jack's, you know, he's like, I'm not going to hurt you. And then, you know, he's like...
you didn't let me finish.
It's when he's like, Wendy,
light of my life.
You didn't let me finish. He's like, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
Just gonna bash him the fuck in. Give me the bat.
Like, yeah.
Give me the bat.
So when he does them, when he's like turned his head from side to side, like smiling, it's like,
but, well, you've just said you're gonna bash my brains in, so I won't give you the bat, because I'm afraid if I give you the bat, you're gonna bash my brains in.
Yeah.
And you've contradicted yourself, because you said you ain't gonna hurt me, but bashing my brains in would be quite hurtful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think of it like that. Yeah, let's get Danny, we'll go. And then they all live a happily long life together.
If only.
You say if only, it'd make a shit film, but oh, this was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen like two ghosts.
Yeah. Well, she hits him and he falls downstairs. It's funny because he looks shocked when she actually hits him.
Yeah, she's like, how fucking dare she?
Well, it seems like she's kind of like the kind of battered woman, isn't she?
Yeah.
And this is her finally
rising
and then
up.
Jack's like, what the fuck? You can hit too? So she drags him to the store. I love Wendy at this bit because she's like, fuck this. I'm locking you in the storage room, mate. Drags him to the storage room, like, just before he wakes up. She grabs a knife as well at this point, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And he's in there, and there's this awesome shot where it's kind of, like, from underneath Jack, but back to front, if that makes sense. It's such a weird angle, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he looks more manic because he's looking down... Well, he's not looking down at the camera, but he's facing down
the
camera.
Yeah, facing down the camera.
His ankle's hurt as well. He's hurt his ankle falling down the stairs, didn't he? So he's shouting at her to let him out, and it's not working. You can see Jack's gears turning as he's...
He's like, oh, if you let me out, I'll forget the whole thing. But, well, I'm not going to forget when you said you were going to bash my brains the fuck in.
Well, he tries that, and then he's like, you know, oh, I'm really hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can see him changing his scenario just by going, you know, like, how am I going to get through to this bitch? It's not working. But she says that she's taking the snow cat, and Jack finds that incredibly funny. He's like, you got a big surprise coming to you.
Jack, check it out. Have you, just save me time sometime, have you trashed it? No, that's fine. It's fine. Go check it out. Go have a look.
It's when they get
that. You broke it, ain't you? Let me guess, you probably broke the radio too. No, that's fine. I didn't take anything out of the radio.
No, you've got a straight shot out of here.
Nice knowing you guys. See ya.
So Wendy goes and checks the snowcat and...
It's fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked. And then it's 4 p.m. Jack's fell asleep doing what you said you'd do in the storage room. He's got like a pile of food next to him that he's just gone through. And Grady knocks for
him. You know what shocked me the most about this scene?
What?
They have Oreos. Yeah. The Oreo logo hasn't changed.
No,
the packaging looks the same.
I think because there's other stuff there as well that's got different packaging now.
Yeah.
I noticed. Grady knocks on the door and he's not very happy with Jack. And he says that he and the others believe that his heart isn't in it. And he says, your wife appears to be stronger than we expected. And Jack's, you know, like, he's kind of like, only for the moment. You know, it's no. And then Grady basically says, I fear you'll have to deal with this in the harshest possible way. So Jack gives him his word, like, oh god, you're a full-on fucking psychotic murderer now. And he's let out.
Out he goes. Smites them all. End of the story.
It's crazy how they work in this. You know what I mean? It's like, you know how they sometimes they're just there and then, but then
sometimes they can actually
they're
do
real
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh god.
Yeah, definitely they're more than just standard ghosts. Yeah. They can actually interact with real
objects.
Shit. Yeah.
Does that prove how maybe that Jack's shine was stronger than what the sequel says it he was? Because they said that he had the shine, didn't they?
Said he had very, yeah, he had light in him as but well, yeah.
Somehow he's, you know, he's this Grady guy, he's managed to get him to help him to open the door. So maybe he's actually stronger.
Nah, because the ghosts are thing. They are like... Yeah,
okay.
Their own... They've got like thing. Their own thing, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Even more so if you go by the sequels rules. Yeah. Because they're actually trying to feed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whereas, I think they're all like pawns of the hotel. All the they're like kind of manifestations of the hotel, and every time it claims somebody else, it's got somebody else to show off in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
So they're just. I think it's the hotel can't fucking open the door.
No.
So
yeah,
it's using
these, yeah, using other people.
It's using the pawns to do its work. Do you know what I mean? Halloran's still making his way to the Overlook, but I think he can see it in the distance at this point, can't he? Because it kind of like rises.
Yeah.
With the shot.
Yeah.
It's really eerie. And then Danny full on chants Red Rum while his mum's sleeping.
Yep.
And he picks up a knife and he tests the edge. Which yeah. Which is awful seeing a kid doing.
Yeah.
There's something just weird
yeah.
about that.
No,
like, yeah, I know you're a dad, but I mean, like, even like, I was like, oh God, there's something worse about that than him shouting Red Rum. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't
this way, like, glides.
I know, and it's like, oh, you can slice your finger open, mate. Like, that's bad for anybody. Do you know? But he grabs lipstick and then writes Red Rum on the mirror.
On the door.
On the door, sorry. It's reflected in the mirror, sorry. So he shouts and he wakes up Wendy. And she kind of, like, looks straight up, doesn't she? Yeah, and the Red Rum's reflected in the mirror.
In the mirror, yep.
It says again. Murder.
My God, how smart.
I know. Right when Jack begins to axe down the door. So they flee into the bathroom. Jack gets in and he's like, Wendy, I'm home. And she kind of gets Wendy out the window, but the window's frosted shut, kind of, like,
yeah.
Half shut, so Danny can get out.
Yeah, she can't
yeah,
out,
which is weird, because she's gangly as fuck.
I know, if she can get out, you know, we wouldn't have any hope.
No, I'd be... Oh,
I'd be doubly sure, but, well, I'm going to die. It was nice knowing you guys.
I don't think I'd get my fat head through that, to be honest with you. Never mind. But she tells Danny to run. Jack's at the bathroom door now, and he's kind of like, little pigs.
Let me come in.
Yeah.
It's the way he's like, but not by the hairs on your chinny chin chin.
Mental.
Proper going for
then
it.
Then I'll huff.
Yeah.
And I'll puff. And I'll blow your house in.
So he axes the door, and this is the famous
axes
line.
Axes the door question. Here's Johnny. Which has never been referenced in pop culture, as a fun fact.
Really?
Never once.
Fucking hell.
Especially not in other horror films.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single thing to say.
Jack gets his hand sliced, though.
Yeah, Shelley's right on. It's like...
It's a really good shot when he's...
But again, he looks shocked again, like...
Ooh! I know, you're like...
How what? Dare you fight back? Yeah. You are my wife. If I want to murder you, you will allow it.
Well, at this point, Halloran arrives... And everyone hears him, don't they?
Like, you're like, yes, here he comes.
Yes,
he's
over
the yeah, because you can hear his snowmobile coming in, and Shelley's just got a look of like, thank
fuck
for this.
Well, Jack's like, shit, I've got something else to deal with. So
it's almost like he's forgotten. He was like, oh shit, I was warned about this.
Oh yeah, fucking hell. Oh fucking hell, he was. Yeah, Jesus Christ, I forgot about that. Yeah, he's like, shit, I'm a really bad ghost. Killer porn thing, aren't I?
I mean, it is my first time, to be fair.
So Danny hides in a cupboard in the kitchen at this point as well. Jack heads off to meet Halloran. Wendy, she goes off now to find Danny, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So Halloran enters the hotel and he's fucking, I mean, he annoys me at this bit.
And saves the day.
He's like, is anybody in here? And it's like, mate, hello? There might be fucking something going on here. Like, chill out a little bit. Fucking hell. You wonder why he got arxed. And yeah. Jack pops out of the, from behind a pillar or something.
Out of nowhere.
And then axes him.
Scatman Crothers gets Scatsman Crothered. Who saw that coming?
The first Scatman Crothered. Danny feels it and, like, screams, yeah. Doesn't he? He's like, oh, fuck, I felt that shit. And Jack goes to get him and he's like, Danny boy! And he sees Danny climb out of this fucking cupboard at this point. Like, did he know Danny was there?
Because I don't think so. I think he just inside. Freaked out, didn't he? He thought, fuck, my dad's coming out with a fucking axe.
What the fuck was that?
Boy!
That freaked me out. That did a little bit. So Wendy's running around looking for Danny, and she sees a man dressed in a dog costume sucking another man's dick.
Mm.
Why did you say it like that?
Mm. I think Charlotte's got a kink you didn't know about there.
Yeah.
Dog costume. I mean, I didn't think you liked dogs this much. Oh my god, enough! Fucking hell. Jack heads outside the hotel because he turns the lights on, doesn't he? And he sees Danny run into the hedge maze. And he follows. He's like, I'm coming, Dan. And he's following his tracks, obviously.
Yeah.
Wendy's still looking around for Danny. She finds Halloran's corpse. She's like, oh, fuck, my hero's dead.
Who saw this coming?
Yeah, and she sees one of the dead guests, and he's like, great party, isn't it? And he's got like a big slit down his head, isn't he?
There's a bit with him that I love in Doctor Sleep.
Yeah, I know what you're on about. Yeah. She also like goes into the lounge and it's like occupied with skeletons.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm guessing the corpses of everyone that's died in there.
It's like, yeah, it's full of like cobwebs and everything. It's one of like the more creepy images.
Maid service ain't very good in this hotel.
I know, like everyone's dead.
Can you get rid of all the skeletons? Fine.
Yeah. So in and the...
It just doesn't.
Did you like that?
Yeah. I could just imagine him just like fine. Throwing them in like one at a time. Yeah. Fucking hell.
So Danny figures out his footprints. He's like, oh wait. I'm leading him right to me. So I think he goes back on himself and then hides around a corner or something.
Yeah, he does like...
He goes into one of the bushes.
He walks backwards and like covers up the...
Yeah.
And he makes... I think he must like make a circle for him.
Jack reaches the end of the... Oh no, sorry. Wendy sees the blood elevator first.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when she's actually fucking seeing stuff now. And Jack reaches the end of the tracks. You know, he obviously... can't find Danny, but he decides to go on anyway. And it's like he's faltering at this point. Like he's been out for way too long. They said that these was like way below freezing.
Yeah.
And he's outside with like very minimal wear. He's got a broken ankle or a sprained ankle, whatever. So he's sweating a lot because he's exerting himself and he's going to freeze even faster. But you literally, like, see him freeze, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, the process. Like, every time you see him, he's like... Rah, rah, rah. Yeah. And then he's, like, not walking right. And he, you know, to the point where he gets completely lost. Wendy and Danny, they meet up. Danny gets out of the hedge maze. They escape in Halloran's snowcat.
Yeah. Cheers, Halloran.
And Jack can hear them leaving. And this is when he's like... Rah, 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 rah. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. Oh, my God.
You feel so bad for him, don't you?
You do it in a sense, because it's like, you poor man.
You've failed miserably at killing your family.
Yeah, and then you're lost in a head. No, but I mean, like, he's been a pawn, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
You just feel bad for him.
It's worse in the book, I think, because in the book he's actually, like, a nicer person than he is in the film. So he's kind of, like, freezing, just wandering around, and then he finally does the worst thing you're not supposed to do when you're freezing.
He sits
down, and... It's like this quick cut.
Yeah.
And he's just...
It's just one of those images that will be forever planted in your brain.
Completely frozen. He's fucked. Like, oh no. What a facial expression to have as well. Like, what? He's just like...
If you unfreeze me, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, like he's really angry. Like, I'm fucking well annoyed. So,
do you think he's like sitting there thinking like, fuck, this would have made a good book.
Yeah. The music plays out and we get, you know, kind of like a final shot and it zooms into the photos on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is of the Overlook Hotel, July 4th Ball, 1921. And it zooms in and in and in and in and then you finally realise that now Jack's on it.
So, he was always there.
Yeah.
He was always the caretaker.
Yep. He's been claimed by the hotel. Yeah, he just went back to 1921. That's the explanation.
I'm here
explanation.
For the party. Yeah.
That's The Shining.
And that is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right, this feels really fucking redundant, but should we do
five.
Some ratings?
5 out of 5. End of story, really. Yeah. I don't really think I can say anything about this, as has been said.
A million times,
It's a very, very good motion picture. There you go. And for fun factor, I enjoy it. There you go.
Good film.
A fucking perfect film, in my opinion.
One of my favourites.
Like I said to you, I think I said to you this off air, but this is how I done it. I don't know, but this is generally one that I regret not having on my top 10.
Yeah, it was in mine.
Yeah, it's kind of one of them that I kicked myself as soon as you came up with it on the list, you know what I mean? I was like, fuck. But like you said, there's always one that you kind of, I don't know, at the time when you're making the list and stuff, it's kind of like, oh, fuck, I misplaced it. Yeah, so. But yeah, it's a
I mean, there was loads I forgot in my top 10 of the decade.
Yeah.
It'd be a completely different list if I did it today.
My list, like I said, go like that anyway. But this would definitely be one of the staples. Definitely. This is in the top five. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a solid.
I'll just agree with you, yeah. Five out of five for both.
Five out of five for both. It's...
Yeah. I've also got a lot of nostalgia for this movie because this was definitely one of the first horror films I was exposed to, I think.
I think it was the first one I watched.
I remember, yeah, you saying it was. I don't know how close this was, but it was very early on. And I have like a lot of nostalgia. That, like I said, I think I've said this in an episode before, or maybe I've said it in conversation before, but this was kind of like one of the first films where I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this acting business is...
It's one of the first films that I found scary.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I remember even as a kid, I wasn't freaked out by it.
It's
well, the first time I watched it, I was home alone, and it was probably one of the first times I was ever home alone. So I think that added to
that's
the...
It. Yeah. Then he's seen...
To be honest with you, it's more Jack Nicholson's performance that scares me in this movie because it's incredible. Like Jack Nicholson is unbelievable in this movie.
Top notch.
I had a really weird sort of discovery of this and other Kubrick films.
Right.
There must have been some sort of series because they were all on Film 4 and like, I think the first one I saw was Clockwork Orange and then like a bit later... It was this, and then like a few weeks later, I was saying it was Full Metal Jacket. And I remember loving all three of them, those films, but not realizing they were all done.
Yeah, by him.
I was like, oh, these are some good films. And they're like, oh, they were all made by the same man. He must be quite good at making the films.
Yeah, nice shit.
If he's so good, how come he's dead? Yeah, it's 5 out of 5. Perfect.
Very redundant episode.
Yeah. But, I mean...
You've got to talk about it.
And a very appropriate film for our 100th ever episode.
Yeah.
Again, very coincidentally, it wasn't planned. It just happened to land on the big 100.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Thanks for listening to us for that long.
Yeah, big thanks to anybody who's listened to all 100 of them.
Oh, yeah, I applaud you because I fucking wouldn't do it.
I think you're more mental than Jack.
Yeah.
Next week, we're delving into the follow-up, Dr. Sleep, which came out in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Feels older than that already.
Yeah, I thought it was older than that for some reason.
Because this year's fucking
To be fair, I think it's probably because I've watched it. I've watched it about... Since I've got it. I think this will be my fifth watch of it.
Weird.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
I've watched it about four times.
This was only my second watch.
Yeah, this is like...
This is my first time since seeing it at the cinema.
Maybe my fourth. I've watched it multiple times.
Fucking hell. So yeah, come back next week for the start of the next 100.
Yeah.
Who knows where we'll be on episode 200.
I'm not coming back. I'm done. 100 episodes is enough. See you later. I'm going back to hell.
Yeah. We'll be back next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Great party, isn't it?